Welcome back to Real Talk Rangers. The Rangers are on their vacation this week. We have just taken our vacation the last 2 weeks, so we are back now, and we're excited to get into some of the updates of how the Rangers have been doing, what's been going on. We're going to look into the future a little bit, as we always do. This is actually our midterm episode, so we're going to give out some midterm grades, report card grades here. By the way, I am Greg, and Derek is on the horn as well.
Hello.
The usual duo. So first, yeah, let's get into the last week of Rangers hockey, because we're recording on the Sunday here, on Sunday, January 8th, and we just saw arguably the game of the year. So, but first, let's start on Tuesday with a terrible game. So we played Buffalo, and that was at home, and that's a team that you're supposed to beat and kill. And we lost. We lost 4-1 in that game. What were your thoughts on that game, besides what the hell is this team doing tonight?
Yeah, anytime you go up to Buffalo, you're expecting to get a win or at least get a point out of it. And we pretty much just got massacred. I don't think there was a single thing in that entire game that stood out to anyone. It's just a disappointing loss when you go up to Buffalo and Rick Jenneret up there. And you come home with a loss, but we rebound in the next two. So, you know, you can't win them all, I guess.
Right. That's really all you can say there. I mean, it's just a dud. Hate when those happen, but I guess I'd rather it happen against a shitty team that has no chance this year. Well, yeah, I'd rather it not happen, but if it's going to, then whatever. Buffalo. Enjoy it.
Again, it's a game you win. The thing is, they're kind of on the uprising a little bit with Eichel coming back and all that. I mean, they're still a bad team, but... A loss is a loss, and you put it behind you.
Right. Yeah, you put it behind you. And then the next night, you get a chance in Philadelphia. Game of the week, rivalry, Wednesday night rivalry, and we obviously start Hank. And I think the first 8 minutes of that game, the first period, Hank makes probably like 3 or 4 of his top 5 saves of the season in like a 6-minute span there, because we were under siege. They jumped all over us. It was offensive zone domination. It looked like a 6-on-3 for a while, and it looked like we were just going to get smoked. And Hank came up enormously huge in that game. And that game, the main thing that I took away was, A, Henrik Lundqvist still has it occasionally. We'll get a little bit more into Hank in depth, but, I mean, that was just a classic Hank stealing the show. They win 5-2. And secondly, Philadelphia... They won 10 games this year in a row, but I don't think they're going to do a whole lot with Steve Mason. I know they just got Michael Neuvirth back after a long, prolonged injury absence, but they really don't have the goaltending to make any noise in the playoffs, from what I'm watching. I mean, he's too hot and cold.
Yeah, their goaltending situation, it surprises me that they were able to win 10 games in a row. I'm still not really sure how they did it. Their offense doesn't seem to click that much, at least when we play them. I mean, they're not a terrible team offensively, but their defense is god-awful. The other thing is their goaltending has been horrendous. I mean, Mason was able to get them wins down the road, like those 10 wins in a row, but he's not been that great. Neuvirth, you know, he comes back, I think, last night or 2 nights ago, and he plays a pretty good game. I think he gives up 2 goals, and they win. But, yeah, their goaltending is going to be shaky the rest of the season. They'll probably make the playoffs, but do they contend in the playoffs? Probably not. That being said, they've been in the show for a long time, the playoffs. So, you know, you just got to get in, and then you can see what happens from there.
Of course, you got to just get in. It's true. Actually, I think that they're at the point where if you look at the Metro, everyone's been talking about the Metro, and rightfully so, because, you know, we're just way better than the Atlantic. But... if you look at the Metro, so the top three, you got Columbus 58 points, Rangers 57, Pittsburgh 55, and then the first wild card is Washington with 55 also. They've won 5 in a row. Back-to-back shutouts for Holtz. They're starting to click. I mean, they've been good all year. They've been really good. It's just our division's filthy. But I think that Philadelphia, right now hanging in that second wildcard spot. They're 3 points up on Toronto, but that's clearly the team to catch. So I know that the Atlantic's a lot worse overall, but those teams sitting there right out of the playoffs right now, Toronto, Tampa Bay, Florida, I mean, they're looking up, and they're not going to catch the Capitals. So
no.
Those teams, I mean, also you have Ottawa and Boston with 44 and 46 points respectively at the in the 2 and 3 spot in their division. So any of those teams can get in the mix because they're really not so good. But
yeah, and
the
Boston,
only team, just yeah, to close, the only team that, that from the Metro that really is amenable to being kicked out of that second wild card spot is Philly. So they got to watch out.
Yeah, and Boston, I mean, Tuukka Rask has been one of the best goalies all year round. It's just Boston hasn't been able to figure it out as far as offense and basically getting wins. So you would think that they turn it around eventually with Tuukka playing so well. So I envision them making a push into the playoffs later on in the second half. Also, this game Wednesday against Philly, were you surprised on the back-to-back to get Lundqvist? Because
yeah.
I was.
Yeah, I thought we'd get Raanta. For sure.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised there. I mean, in the first 10 minutes, like you said, in that game, Lundqvist proved that he deserves to play that game. But with the way AV has been going back and forth with the goalies, I'm pretty shocked after a stinker up in Buffalo, back-to-back, he goes Lundqvist again. So that was a little shocking and maybe a little tilt in the decision-making there. But
yeah, I think so. I think it was strategic at this point. Also, like you said, it kind of breaks the mold because all year AV has been rolling the hot hand, and you get a game where it's an absolute stinker against Buffalo, and you know you figure it's a back-to-back. Why not roll with Raanta? But
and a huge game against Philly.
I mean, enormous still game. Divisional game.
Division,
man.
Yeah, division rivals, close in points, like Philly making a push. So it is a big game.
And then, I'm pretty sure that those games are going to start picking up, by the way. We're going to play a lot of in-division rivals.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of in-division rivals, how about that game last night?
Who would have thought they're rivals, huh?
Wowee. Also true. But so last night, we go into Columbus. This is the last game remaining on our schedule before our break week. So we don't play again until Friday the 13th, which spells all kinds of good things. But
that's got a fucking loss written all over it.
Yeah, probably. Also, Toronto's just great. Love them. So, but we go into Columbus. The first period, it looks like we are an AHL team. They're skating circles. We're taking nonstop penalties in the offensive zone. We can't skate with this team. They're scoring ridiculous goals. Power play looks unbelievable, which they are. They're at a 27% clip, first in the league this year. But, yeah, it's their first game back after Washington beats them in Washington to end their 16-game winning streak.
Destroyed them.
They crushed them.
I think it was 4-0, right?
Yeah, 5-0. But this is the first game back in Columbus, so, you know, they're going to salute their team. Everyone's riled up. It's the Rangers. You want to beat them. You want to prove you're still the top of the division.
And you know hard-ass Tortorella is screaming at them, you know, in the locker room before the game. We can't lose fucking two in a row. Who are we? We have no character. You know that's all he's saying. So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, they're going to come out firing, and they came out firing with that 2-0 lead. And I got to be honest, I personally would have pulled Lundqvist after the two goals. And that's not to say that the goals were entirely his fault. The first one, maybe he could have made the save. He's kind of screened, but I expect Lundqvist to make the first save. The second one on the power play, I mean, backdoor pass.
There's
no one's going to save that. But
Cammy Atkinson.
At that point in the game, it's more of a momentum thing to switch goalies as opposed to saying, hey, Henrik, you suck. I still hold to it. I still would have pulled him. Even knowing the outcome of the game that we come back and win, he still gave up two more. I would have pulled him personally.
So
but
I said out loud that Hank should be out of the game after the third goal against. So
yeah, in the first period, right?
In the first period, still in the
right.
First.
He should have came out. He should have been pulled for the second period.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's what I would have done.
I would have pulled him after the second goal, though. Personally,
I think that's a little bit early.
He gave up two goals in under 5 minutes. I mean, regardless of how shitty the goals were or not, I mean, something's got to be either
I don't
that
know,
or
dude. Two
you
is not enough.
You either got to do that or fight somebody, and you know this team's not going to fight.
Well,
anybody.
We don't have anybody doing that besides Zuccarello. So,
right.
I think the two is a little bit quick. I mean, listen, Corey Schneider the other night literally just, hey, you want a goal? Take a goal. Throws the puck away, and he stays in the game. I mean, granted, the Devils are in a little bit of a different situation. That's a horrendous hockey team, but I don't know. I definitely would have pulled after three. So anyway, we go down 4-1 in the game in Columbus. Things are not looking good. Not looking good at all. I'm imagining in my head how practices are going to go all week. Or actually, they don't practice. The next practice is what, Thursday?
Yeah, so because of the mandatory bye week, because of the World Cup of Hockey, every team gets 5 days off and they can't practice. It's mandatory rest.
Right. Right.
So they can practice again Thursday after 5 p.m., which they're going to.
Interesting. But you can still, you can imagine after, like, if that game continues on that trajectory for the third period, and the second and third, and we lose, like, 7-2, you can imagine all those guys sitting at home for five straight days just like, oh, man, like, that team's way better than we are, and all the thoughts that go through a team's head. And instead, we get the complete 180 of that. You really couldn't have asked for anything better. That was a storybook way to come back. They come back, they continue to grind, and they put some goals together. Clendenning scores twice.
Who?
Big fan of Clendenning. Big Clendenning guy, actually.
Who's Clendenning?
He should get a lot more playing time than he does. I mean, he just shoots the puck, like, straight
you
up.
Mean,
and
you mean Girardi, right? That's Girardi?
No, it's, no, not Girardo. No.
Oh, there's actually a guy on our team named Clendenning? That's
right,
cool.
You wouldn't really know it, but...
Jesus.
Anyway, so they...
You know, it takes a stall injury to bring this guy in. I mean, come
unbelievable.
On.
Unbelievable.
You got Girardi
in
the
back would hope,
end.
Though, that the second half of the year they start resting, quote-unquote, the veterans, like Girardi and Stahl. I don't know when Stahl's coming back, but...
I still hold to the point that I don't think Clendenning is a night-in and night-out guy, but what I do think...
He doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I mean, right now it has to be because of the injury. But what I do think is that Girardi and Stahl and possibly Klein, who's been pretty crappy of late, they need to be swapped out. Why can't you run a seven-man defensive system where people get swapped out, you know, barring obviously McDonough and Che, who are going to play, you know, I want them to play 60 minutes a game. They should play every game. But, you know, I don't see a reason why you can't swap people out.
I mean, I completely agree. There's really no reason not to either. Even if a guy wants to play, if Girardi wants to play 10 games in a row in mid-March, why would you have him doing that? You know you're going to be playing him in the playoffs. Like you said, Clendenning's not going to be a starter barring injury in the playoffs. So why not get him time? And, I mean, he looks pretty good on the power play. Like I said, he just shoots the puck. Actually, I mean, he's not a great defensive defenseman, but
he's great.
Played better. I mean, he made a couple nice plays. He's not a liability out there, I don't think, at this point. So I would be looking to get him more playing time. But anyway, we come back. If you have not listened to the Donnie LaGreca call on ESPN Radio
of
that goal, wowee. That is an all-time call from Don LaGreca. And I would recommend pausing us and listening to that because if you shut your eyes, you didn't know the time and place, you would think that he just scored a goal to clinch the Eastern Conference Finals. So
possibly a Stanley Cup victory.
Possibly the Stanley Cup, which is great. You love hearing guys get up for something like that. But anyway, so we come back.
Grabner. I want to shout out. Oh, yeah, I was going to shout out to Grabner. Yep.
Who else do we shout out to right now? I mean, Grabner. Yeah. Wow. What a goal. What a game. What a goal.
I mean, Grabner has the same amount of goals as Ovechkin. Just saying.
Right.
Just saying.
18 goals on the year. Leading the team.
Unbelievable.
You really have to wonder what the fuck they were doing in Toronto with a guy like this. But anyway, Grabner gets the steal, scores with 17 seconds left. Absolute filthy, beautiful backhand, unstoppable. And we do have to take it with a grain of salt because we played Curtis McElhinney. So
which was
exactly,
interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting call. Didn't exactly get their top-notch goaltender, Vezina winning goaltender this year, potentially.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it because, well, I don't know. They have a back-to-back, and they play Philly tonight.
Yeah, they're playing Philly. So, I mean, in my mind, I know he got, you know, Bobrovsky got lit up by Washington. But in my mind, I put him back against the Rangers to try to have a comeback, you know, a comeback win after a bad loss.
And then
I put McElhinney up against Philly, who is playing pretty shitty right now. So it's an interesting call by Tortorella, but you know what? That's Tortorella for you.
Classic Torts there. So right now going into the break, I mean, we've played a couple more games. We played four more games than the Penguins, three more games in Washington. But the Rangers currently at 57 points, so that's one behind the league leaders in Columbus at 58. We also have the most regulation overtime wins, 26. They're a plus 39 goal differential. I mean, 7-3 of their last 10, as much as we bitch about dud games like the Buffalo game, they're really, when they lose a game, they're coming back and they're winning the next night. Like, they really don't have losing streaks, which it seems like we've lost a bunch of games this year, but They're kind of more few and far between. I mean, we're 15 games over 500.
I completely agree, and I brought this up to you last night, and maybe it's a little bit far-fetched, but the last couple weeks remind me a lot of the team last year in regards of, like, you know, we would win games, but you kind of sit back and you would say, we're winning these games, but we probably shouldn't be, and this team can't sustain itself in the playoffs, and then we got destroyed by Pittsburgh in the first round. Now, that being said, I don't think this team's the same as last year, but the last couple weeks have been giving me that feeling of, wow, we're still winning games, but we probably shouldn't be winning some of these games, including last night. Last night, we had no business winning last night's game.
No, we did not.
I think it's great that we came back and we found a way to win. That's fantastic. But listen, if you play like that, you know, obviously Columbus is a good team and a playoff team that's going to possibly make a run. But if you play like that in the playoffs against a team like that or like Pittsburgh, you're going to get destroyed. So,
yeah.
It worries me a little bit. We have a lot of people coming back from injury, which we'll get into in a second. But I'm just pointing it out. I hope that doesn't continue, and I hope we can pick it up from here.
No, that's a perfect analysis, I think. That's a good segue also into the injuries, which we want to talk about. But real quick, I just want to put on the record, I do not think that Columbus has any chance of making the Stanley Cup final this year. I just think I'm a believer that these young gun teams have to pay their dues. I mean, no, what team can you think of in the past, like, 20 years that just first time in the playoffs in, like, a long time and just goes through a conference? Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
I mean, I agree. Like, the way that they're playing, this is no fluke. I mean, they won 16. That yeah, it's a little fluky. Just the pure raw number of games that they won in a row. They, like, obviously, they had the puck luck and everything went right for them. But, I mean, they're a real team. You watch them skate. They have real, real solid players. And the defensive end, too. I mean, bunch of guys just coming out of nowhere, I feel like. Calvert, Werenski.
Yeah,
I mean, Foligno's a fantastic captain. Obviously, Cam Atkinson has been superstar level this year. And you watch him play. I mean, I have him on my fantasy team. We have him, too, in our joint league.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy puts up numbers every single night, and you don't know if they're flukes or whatever, but then you watch him play. No flukes, man. This kid is something special. He's real good, real talented.
I think they can make a run. I'm not sure if they'll make the cup. I mean, saying here anyone's going to make the cup is a hard thing to do. You're a good team, you're going to make the cup. But I will say, if Bobrovsky can play the same way he's been playing and not get injured, which has been his Achilles heel, no pun intended there. I think they have a chance. And the reason I think they have a chance is you have all these guys scoring a lot of goals and getting a lot of assists that you wouldn't quite expect, like the rookie Werenski and all those people. Atkinson, I don't think, will keep up the pace he has. Then on the other side, you have guys like Dubinsky, who hasn't done anything this year,
right,
who you know is capable.
Boone Jenner.
Boone Jenner. So even if Atkinson slows down or Werenski slows down a little bit, you have guys that can pick up the slack. Now, will they is the question, but I think they can make a run. I mean, they can beat us. They can beat Pittsburgh. I'm pretty sure they can beat anyone in the conference. It's just going to come down to what actually happens and the type of goaltending they actually get in the playoffs. So,
I would have to get pretty good odds to take them in a playoff series against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I don't know, man. I agree. I mean, it wouldn't be easy, but I think they can compete.
Can compete. They're a good team. I'm a believer that you got to pay your dues first. But, hey, I mean, the Rangers have been paying dues since I was born. So.
But what a story that would be if they did make the cup or win the cup. Could you imagine that?
Imagine Tortorella.
Ah, Torts.
All right. But anyway, so that was our weekend review, 20-minute weekend review for three games. So we're going to talk – let's get back into the injuries a little. So as I said, the Rangers are now officially on their little vacation break here. And it could not come at a better time, especially coming off. So you get all the good feels for that win in Columbus. What a huge win. And now you have some time off. Rick Nash, I think if last night was a playoff game, he plays. But I actually agree with Alain Vigneault. And I think that he made the right decision to rest Nash because there's really no reason. I mean, you don't want another setback. This guy's been really, really good when he's on the ice. 13 goals in 30 games so far, and he just looks like he did in Columbus, as we've discussed in previous episodes. So there's no reason to take the chance. You rest him one more game. He comes back. He has the week off. He probably works out on his own. He practices on Thursday, hopefully. And then hopefully he plays Friday night at the Garden against Toronto. And so we're going to. Nash is obviously the closest. I believe that Zibanejad is likely on schedule to practice on Thursday, actually.
Yeah, what I heard is Zibanejad's close to return. He could probably, what I read, they're saying he might be able to play actually the weekend, so right after they come back. The thing is, he hasn't, I don't think he's done a full team practice yet, which would be Thursday the first time, but
Right.
I wouldn't rule him out if he practices Thursday and he feels good. I wouldn't rule him out for you know, an immediate comeback right after the break. So
Wow, we could sure use him.
he had, you know, he had 15 points in 18 games. He was the top, you know, he's the top pivot up there on the first center. He was having a great season until he got hurt. He's great on the power play. He would be a tremendous person to come back right now.
Absolutely. I think in a sneaky way, I mean, well, obviously it benefits everyone because down the line you put him back in the lineup. Everyone settles, goes down the line and then settles in. But
Yeah.
just the experience, everyone's been playing up a line for the past month and a half, however long he's been out. I think we really see the benefits with a guy like Stepan. I mean, Stepan's been pretty good recently. He's
Yeah,
been
he has.
scoring goals. He's making plays, putting up some points. And now, you know, you get Zibanejad back, take some pressure off Stepan, playing against lesser competition. I mean, it's just going to be a really good thing for the whole team. And it's not like they've been like sinking without him. I mean, him and Nash have been out, and obviously Buchnevich also, who is currently on a conditioning stint in the AHL and scored an absolute beauty in his first game back.
Yeah, so
So
he's coming
he's
back.
coming back too. And once you get those three guys back in the lineup, I mean, this is a completely different team. And it's just kind of
Yeah.
scary to say that they're a point off the NHL lead and they're missing three of their top players. So
Yeah, I think it's interesting the depth we have, and we've talked about this in the earlier podcast. It's incredible depth. We have people like Pumple, who's now hurt, and Frivik and Jensen, who have come in and, you know, they've done a decent job. They're not great. They haven't done anything great, but you know, they're filling the void. But now when we get these people back, I mean, naturally, Grabner is going to move down to the fourth line, but do you actually want him to play on the fourth line? I don't know, because it becomes very interesting. He'll probably end up on the third line, but then do you knock VC down to the fourth? Like, I don't really know how the dynamic is going to change once everyone comes back.
Yeah, that's really gonna be, it's a
Just
good problem to have, but yeah.
sorry, yeah, it's an excellent problem, but really quickly, and Buchnevich, he's one of those guys you want him to play, but you don't really want him to play on the fourth line. You need him
No.
to get the experience and play with top end guys because he's a goal scorer. So,
But that's the other thing about our depth. Like, we don't necessarily have a classically defined fourth line. Like, he's not gonna go out there and play with a bunch of grinders because we're probably gonna send guys like Lindberg and Hrivik back down. So you're
that's
likely
true.
looking at playing with, like, Buchnevich could play with Grabner and maybe Peary or something like that
That's
and
true, yeah.
still produce because those guys have some offensive talent. Although, I think Peary maybe has missed Zibanejad the most out of anyone on the team
Yeah,
because
especially on
of
the
his
power
role
play.
in the power play. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Zibanejad was setting him up and you could see it. They had some chemistry. They knew where each other were going to be. They're building that chemistry. And then Zibanejad went down and Peary's kind of sort of disappeared since that time. So I think it'll be big for him on the power play to get the puck exactly where he wants it, and just all he has to do is rip it and hopefully hit the net because he misses the net more than anyone I've ever seen. So
Yeah, I'm extremely excited if we get all three of these guys back in one bang. If we get all three of these guys back this weekend,
wow.
I can't imagine us losing games. I know that's crazy to say, but I
I
mean,
mean,
really, Zibanejad's had been phenomenal before he got hurt. Nash has picked it up incredibly. Buchnevich had just shown us that he can actually be a goal scorer in the league. I mean, you're getting
top
three
end
top six
talent.
forwards. Yeah,
Top end talent, right?
three top six forwards back. I mean,
Yeah.
it's incredible.
Yeah, like our fourth, that would literally be our fourth line. Grabner and Peary, or like throw Vizi in there. Like, I mean, we just have so much talent,
Yeah,
offensive
it's unreal.
talent right now. It's great. And we'll get into the offense a little bit. Actually, yeah, let's move in. So this is our midterm grade section, little segment. We're gonna break it down by unit. So we've got a grade for the offense as a whole, the defense, the tenders, the power play, and the penalty kill. So let's start off on offense. And it's a little bit tough to give these grades out because we haven't seen the team at its full potential really, and I kind of tried to factor that in a little bit with my grades. But I'm gonna give this team an A minus for offense this year so
Wow,
far.
you know what's weird about that?
What's that?
So I gave him an A minus too.
Wow, look at that. So
Wow, great minds, huh?
yeah. obviously.
Think alike.
So we couldn't quite give them an A. I think we probably have the same feeling. Couldn't quite give them an A just because they've had a couple duds, and I mean, you just haven't seen the team at full speed yet. So yeah. You don't know what they can be. I mean, you know what they can be. You saw it the first month of the season, and that was A rating. That was A-plus offense. So, but they're still, even with these guys hurt, they're second in the NHL with 3.43 goals for per game. They've scored the most goals in the NHL, 146. I mean, it's really just the potential that's holding them back from being an A or A-plus range. That's my thinking
on
it.
Some of the stats I have down when we were looking at this, yeah, they're the first in the league for goals scored, the second in the league for goals scored per game. So I mean, and they were just behind
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're basically first in both in any goal scoring type categories.
Right.
The thing that bothers me about it, and one of the reasons I can't give them an A quite yet, they have the 19th. They're 19th in shots per game, mm-hmm. which we always know. We, you know, the Rangers don't take shots when they should. 29 shots per game, 19th in the league. The other thing that really bothers me and has been a Rangers downfall for years, as far as I can remember, is faceoffs. They are 28th.
Yeah,
yeah. They are 28th in the league in faceoff percentage at a 47.8 click. So that clearly bothers me. That being said, Zibanejad coming back makes that go up tremendously because he's very good on the faceoffs.
Mm-hmm.
One other good thing, we are the third lowest penalized team in the league at 6.5 roughly penalty minutes per game. So that's always
wow.
a good thing.
Yeah.
Not getting penalized. And then the other bad thing is shot percentage, 22nd in shot percentage at 7.41. So that either tells you they're not taking enough shots or they're not taking enough good shots. And
I think the efficiency, right? That's
yeah,
a good number,
I think,
though. That kind of
yeah.
tells the story.
Yeah, so are we getting enough shots? Maybe, but are we getting enough good shots on goal? Probably not.
Or are they just throwing it on net from,
exactly.
from the blue line once every three times they have the opportunity to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. But having said that, we both gave them an A-, so clearly that's not really a problem for this team.
No, and the whole year, I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but the whole year they might have had like one to 2 weeks where I was a little bit worried about the offense, and it was like right before holiday time.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I mean, they're scoring 3, 4, 5 goals a game. So there's nothing to be said about that.
Right.
A-.
Yeah. I mean,
do it that way.
Yeah.
A-.
If you're scoring almost 3.5 goals a game, I'm not too worried about you.
No.
Unless you're Philadelphia, because they have no defense or goaltending. Anyway, so let's move on to the defense. So this one's a little tougher. The defense as a whole. Ooh, what did you say? How did you feel about this? Because it's not going to be an A-. I know that.
No, it's definitely not going to be an A-. I kind of actually bordered on two levels of grading. I went with a B-.
That's what I went with.
But to be complete, wow, this is crazy. We should have been teachers, bro. I don't know.
Maybe we will be.
But
teaching Rangers hockey.
Yeah. Oh, man.
New class.
Just throwing out C-pluses all day.
C's get degrees, dude. I don't know if you know that.
They do.
Quick shout out, BJ.
Yeah, I know someone that survived college by getting C-pluses and is now a teacher, which is kind of scary for America, but just saying.
Yeah, quick shout out. BJ, fries.
So I was pretty close to giving them a C-plus, to be honest, but I decided to give them a B-, because I see potential, and there's so many people that have really played – very well, like McDonough, Shea, that I wanted to give them in the B range, but I, you know, B-, you know, they give 106 goals against, which is 16th in the league. Not great. Is it a little bit to do with the goaltending? Probably. We'll get into that next. I would like the defense to get involved in the offense a little more. Pretty much the only offensive defenseman we have right now is Holden out of nowhere. I don't think anyone expected that. But overall, I don't think they've been terrible. There's much room for improvement, but that's kind of my view on it.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I almost had them as C-plus, so I'd probably give them an 80 exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they're, I mean, it's 2.52 goals against per game, which is not terrible, but it's not excellent either. And I actually I disagree a little bit on the offensive part of it because that's kind of what raised it up to a B minus instead of the C range. They've had some good. I mean, Holden's been scoring goals, which is pretty good. McDonough has a bunch of assists. I think he leads the team in assists, like 23 assists or something like that.
Yeah, but he's got to put the puck in the net.
Agreed, agreed. But I mean, he's putting up some points. Like he's making some plays.
Yeah.
And I mean, Shea has a bunch of assists too. He's like up there in the rookie defenseman category for assists. So I
Actually,
agree, they're not necessarily scoring besides
yeah.
Holden. And like Klein hasn't really done anything. He's kind of been a little bit worrisome recently. I don't know. I mean, he usually think of Klein as like what a warrior. He's a battler. He's steady, solid second line defense, second pair. But he's been a little bit worrisome. So, like you said, there's room for improvement. There have been some awful defensive plays. Like Klein made a horrible one against Columbus last night. Just
Yeah,
some that stick out. So that's kind of also going into the lower rating for the defense as a whole. And again, there's zero physicality with this team. When's the last time we really hit somebody hard trying to skate across the neutral zone? I can't remember it. So
you know, to be honest, the last couple big hits that I've
I know
seen
what you're gonna say.
were Dan Girardi.
Ooh.
And it was against Philly. He had some
Right.
big
Yeah.
hits in that Philly game.
He did.
So
I thought you were gonna say McElrath, but yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously McElrath was our last actual hitter, but
Right.
Girardi was throwing some shoulders against Philly. So
Yeah, I
I don't
forgot
know,
about
but
that. He was physical.
I agree. I mean, this team has no there's no one scary on this team, period. There's not one person that can fight, really. I'm going to leave it at that. But
Somebody's
I
got a
looked
Chuck
up.
Knucks. Somebody's got a Chuck Knucks.
Yeah, but nobody will.
Nah.
This team is full of a bunch of scaredy cats.
Pretty much.
I was going to use a different word, but I'll leave
Yeah.
it at
Keep it
that.
PG, even though we're explicit on iTunes.
Yeah, PG-13.
PG-13. Solid.
What I did look up is goals per period, and this was kind of interesting. Was that
Feel like
we're
we have a lot in the
pretty
third. I don't know
well?
that, but
See, I would have thought that too, but then I
uh-oh.
looked it up, and we're pretty evenly spread. So that shows the defense is playing full games and
Yeah.
not getting tired towards the ends of games or not giving up bad turnovers in the beginning of the game. 34 goals in the first, 36 in the second, 36 in the third. So
Wow.
pretty even spread throughout the game. Conversely, interestingly enough, goals scored, and I forgot to mention this in offense, we have only 34 goals scored in the first period and then 54 and 55 in the second and third. So we're clearly a team that doesn't get off to great starts, as we can see from last night,
Right.
but then pick it up towards the second and the third. I'd rather have that than the other way around, than to us fall apart in the third. But what I'd really like is just to, you know, to score some goals in the first. That'd be great.
It'd be great to take a lead in a game. I don't really remember that happening often.
Yeah. Also, I'm gonna put you on the spot, so sorry, but
Please, please.
if you had to guess where this team ranks in giveaways, where would you say we
Ooh.
were?
Wow,
I can't
giveaways.
wait. I can't wait for this answer because I was shocked, actually, to be honest.
So giveaways per game?
Yeah. I mean, just total giveaways, but it's the
Oh,
same
okay.
thing.
I think.
In the league.
Are we 10th?
See, I would have thought we were middle of the pack too. And I actually, that's what I thought. I
Oh
thought we'd be
boy.
around like a little bit above halfway, so maybe 14. We give away the puck the second most in the league.
Holy jumping, as
And
they say.
I think a lot of that has to do with the defense, because most turnovers are going to be in the defensive zone or trying to get through the neutral zone, and it's likely going to be a defenseman trying to get through the neutral
That
zone.
makes
So
sense. I actually can remember a bunch of times just off the top of my head where we try to get the puck. I feel like a lot of it is trying to clear the puck, and we
yeah.
just can't clear the zone. I feel like I've been screaming all year, get the puck out of the zone, and they just can't clear, and
Yeah,
the defenseman just stop it right at the blue line.
I had no idea that we were going to be so high in giveaways, but actually, interestingly, we're also top five in takeaways.
Wow.
So it's kind of that tells me we're having trouble getting through the neutral zone. That's my
Yeah,
opinion on
pretty
it.
much.
And making way too many passes in the offensive zone, which has been a problem for 50 years.
If I had to,
So
true. If I had to put money on it, I would bet that Grabner is responsible for the vast majority of those takeaways with his
oh, of
speed and his
course.
penalty killing. But
Yeah.
anyways, so that's the defense. Let's get into the tending quickly here.
Oh boy.
Ooh, this one's tough because
I think we're going to differ here for the
as
first
we've
time.
mentioned, I think we might differ. Hank's been up and down this year, clearly. The problem for me is that what used to be the standard, so like for example, Henrik in Philly, right? He was excellent. And that used to be what you come to expect every single night, rather than the exception to the norm, right? And I think that it's kind of leaning towards switching a little bit, where you come in and you almost expect him not to play well, which is really saying something. The tide is kind of turning on his career a little bit. I'm starting to get a little bit worried here, because that's the exception to the mean, like I said, and now to the norm. And now it's like, well, oh, wait, he had a good game finally. He didn't have one of his duds that he has two out of three games. That's the feeling anyway. So, like, his numbers on the year, I mean, he's 18-9 with a 2.55 and a 9.12. Those are not Henrik Lundqvist numbers. Like, the wins have been there, but the 2.55 and 9.12, those are way down for his career. Keep waiting for him to put together a good, solid string of games where he's solid and you know, has more Henrik-like numbers, but that really hasn't happened yet this year. But on the other end, Ranta, as a backup, has been very good. So he's got 10 wins, 2.28, and a 9.21. And if Lundqvist can move towards those numbers more, I would be happier with it. I realize that I have not given a letter grade yet, but I'm going to throw out a B- for goaltending as well.
Yeah, we talked about this a few pods ago with our friend Buddy Peck over there with Gotham Sports Network over there. We talked about the last time that a team came in to play New York and actually feared playing Henrik Lundqvist. And our friend Buddy was saying that, you know, it doesn't really happen anymore. We're not afraid to go in and play the Rangers. Specifically, we're not afraid to play Lundqvist anymore. There was a time 2-3 years ago and specks of it last year where teams were afraid to play Lundqvist. Like, you weren't going to score a goal on Lundqvist tonight. And I haven't seen that the entire year this year. So that worries me a little bit. I think part of goaltending, I mean, the majority of goaltending is confidence.
Mental.
But also, yeah, but also a big part of goaltending, I think, is teams being scared of you. If you know you can score 6 goals on a guy, you're going to be a little bit more relaxed as if you're playing, you know, a goalie who you know could shut you down for an entire series in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's a big factor. Looking at his stats, and you mentioned a bunch, but I'm just going to point out the last two seasons are his career high in goals against. This year being the worst, and I know it's only halfway through, but this year being the worst, last year being his second most goals against. Save percentage has kind of fluctuated year to year, and that kind of happens depending on the defense and things like that. But, you know, if you're looking at a small trend analysis, his last 2 years have been statistically his worst. That's a little bit worrisome. He's on the tail end of his career. He's getting older. His defense...
Years.
Yeah, and we have him for 4 more years, so could he put together a good second half? Absolutely. Could he come back next year and be a Vezina winner? Absolutely. Could he come back next year and be one of the worst goalies in the league? Absolutely.
Not one of the worst, but not
you never know, though.
I'd say middling. I mean, he could be lower end. If things continue to get that bad, but I mean, he's been so good for so long, just sustained success. It's hard to imagine him just falling off a cliff, but I do know do agree with what you're saying.
I mean, I wouldn't think he would come back. I wouldn't think he would ever be bad enough where we'd have to worry about it every night. That being said, though, this year has been kind of like that. Like you mentioned earlier, there was a point in this year, a couple weeks ago, where when you heard Lundqvist was playing, you kind of cringed a little bit and said, I don't know, maybe Ranta should play tonight. Mm-hmm. So
more this year than any other year, for sure.
Of course. I mean in any other year you almost never thought playing your backup was a good idea.
No, like I said, you'd be disappointed when you get to the garden and you hear that, you know, the backup's playing, that Valaket's in that. Love you, Steve, but
yeah,
it's just not the same as it was. So what's your letter grade here?
I mean, I'm going to give him a B overall because I don't want to jump. I mean, Ranta's been good enough to keep the team in it. I mean, and Lundqvist hasn't been terrible. You know, he hasn't been like Schneider or anything like that. But sorry, Greg.
I love Corey Schneider.
I give him a B overall. And what I really am interested in, to be honest, is if Lundqvist goes into the playoffs and plays very well, everyone's going to forget the season completely. So I think we have to wait to see what happens in the playoffs. I know it's kind of early, but if he goes into the playoffs and puts up 3 stinkers and then Ranta plays the 4th game, I mean, there's something to be worried for next season, and I think the Rangers have to think about that, especially going into the expansion draft and Ronta being a player that's probably going to be exposed. So
right, he'll be on their mind for sure.
Very interesting dynamic to see what happens. I want to see. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions in the regular season. I want to see what Lundqvist does in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's the season, and then there's the show. So
right,
we'll see what happens when we get there. Cannot wait for playoff hockey. Oh my god. But anyway, let's go on quickly and do the power play and the penalty kill. So the power play were actually shockingly to me third in the NHL.
Don't understand that.
23.2% clip. I have no idea how that number is.
I think those are fake numbers.
Seriously. So my notes I have really quickly, like, we're 23%, but a lot of those, you know, 77% that are not scored are horrendous power plays. They kill the momentum, and the other team just gains confidence from how horrible we are in the power play and how easily it is to just fend us off. And I really think that that's something that isn't necessarily measured, because you can't really measure that momentum swings, but it's definitely a real thing. I mean, going in, you know, we're feeling good, and then all of a sudden it's 2 minutes just chasing, or they have a couple chances, they dominate in our zone. It's just bad. So that's really deceiving, I feel like, that number. Having said that, we're still third in the league. The average in the league is 18.5%. We're at 23.2%. And we still are, like we said, all these numbers are, you have to have a little caveat, because you're waiting for our big three to get back with Nash, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich. So I gave them a B.
Yeah, I went with a B+, and you know, the power play numbers are good. The thing that worries me is the penalty kills down. They're 10th in the league on the kill at 83%. That is worrisome come playoff time, because now you're giving up 83%. You know, you're killing off 83 against every team. When you get into the playoffs, those teams are going to have way better power plays than the general teams in the NHL. So penalty killing becomes much more important, as does, you know, the power play in the playoffs. Special teams are key in the playoffs. So the power play, I guess, has been good. But like we said, it doesn't seem like it has. But, you know, numbers don't lie, I guess.
I guess. But, numbers don't lie, I guess. That's really all I can say with that number. Yeah.
Like you said, you watch it and you know, they get 0-1 shots on goal on a power play. And you're wondering how the hell this team is third in power play percentage. But
right.
Whether I don't know, whoever's doing the analytics for NHL is maybe wrong. I don't know, but the kill is what worries me. That kill, we got to be in the top five in the penalty kill.
Agreed.
You just
agreed.
Have to be.
Yeah.
But I gave them the B+ because we have 5 shorthanded goals, tied for second in the league.
Yes, we do.
And
I was
that's
just
obviously Mikhail Grabner.
Yes, so it is. A lot on Grabby there. I gave him a B-, but you could argue it either way. The 5 shorties is pretty solid. And it feels like he has a breakaway on every penalty kill that he's on. So, but I agree, they need to steady that up a little bit more. I mean, 83% is not awful, but you'd like it around 85, 86 would be nicer. Top 5 would be really where you want to be heading into the playoffs.
I would just like to point out also, I recently have gotten a lot more into NHL 17 on PS4, and it is so realistic. I get 1-2 breakaways of Grabner in the video game.
That's great.
That's pretty much what happens in real life.
That is real life.
So, yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous. Never seen anything like that. Do you think he's fat? He's the fastest skater in the NHL?
I think there's
one guy on the Rangers that is right there.
Oh, well.
At full tilt.
Kreider.
Yes.
But I think it's different speed. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but hear me out. Grabner has great pickup speed and
acceleration
is the word I'm looking for. He has great acceleration. Kreider, though, is like a fucking train.
He's a freight train.
Like,
yeah.
He doesn't have a great start, but when he gets going, if you give him like 4 or 5 strides through the neutral zone, he's gone. And I saw he beat someone last night like that.
He
beat Seth Jones like that last night. And Seth Jones
right
is a great skater.
Yep.
So I think Grabner just has great acceleration and overall speed, but Kreider is like a fucking freight train. Like, and that's why back in the day he used to truck goalies, because he built up so much speed, and like a train, he couldn't stop when he got towards the net. So he's learned to do that a little bit better, but I agree. I mean, Grabner, I think, is probably one of the fastest people in the league. What I will say, too, maybe he makes the All-Star game, and I would love to see him in the speed competition.
At least the skills competition, right, because I'd love to see him skate against Carl Hagelin. That would be excellent.
Yeah, yeah. I think he beats him. I think he beats him.
I think he might. Who was the other? Wasn't Carlson in it? Somebody else was really close to Hags.
I really can't remember.
I don't know. But I really do like watching that. So hopefully they'll get grabs in if they're smart. But anyway, so those were our midterm grades. Pretty good. Pretty good so far. I mean, C's get degrees, but no C's there. So let's do really quickly superlatives.
Wait, I gotta throw something in real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
So last year on the speed competition, I had to look this up. Dylan Larkin won last year, which makes sense, mm-hmm. and actually holds the record. But interestingly enough, do you know who won in 2011 and 2012 in the speed competition?
Is it Daniel Chara?
Nope. Yeah, that'd be nice, right? Michael Grabner won in 2011.
That makes sense.
And Carl Hagelin won in 2012.
There we go.
So
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just had to throw that in.
I like that. Okay. So real quick, let's just run through some superlatives.
That's where our new producer, Menz, could have came in there looking at
us. You guys will meet Menz real soon. A quick shout out to Menz. He'll be on.
He'll be our fake producer. Menz is on the mend. That's going to help us out.
Yeah, he'll be on soon. So these we don't have written down. We're just going to – don't really have stats in front of us to back this up. Let's just go based on our – you know, just watching the team so far. So who's your biggest surprise of the year?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Grabner?
Maybe Mikhail. Yeah. There's only one answer to that question, really.
Yeah, I think the word surprise throws it off, but the person I'm most proud of is Brady Shea. But when you say surprise, it's definitely Grabner. No one expects Grabner to have as many goals as Ovechkin. I mean,
no,
come on.
No.
Come on.
Nobody
it's ridiculous.
Does. I agree. It's Grabner. That's a good point with Shea. I did kind of – I was pretty high on him going into this year based on the playoffs and his pedigree. So I'm not
I was
all
a little
that
less
surprised,
on him, but yeah.
Yeah, but it, like, I mean, you said there's no real comparison to Grabner so far, so
no.
Definitely Grabner. Biggest letdown.
This one, I just hate to do this, but I gotta just put Hank in there, man. It's not that I think he's having a terrible, terrible, terrible season. But it's just I expect so much from him that it's a letdown for me to think of what's going on lately. I got to do it, and I hate to do it. But sorry, Hank, you got to step it up, man.
That's completely fair because that's honestly who I would think to put there as well.
And it's kind of unfair because he's still middle of the pack in the league. Like, he's still a good goalie, but when you expect him to be the best in the world every year, if he has a minor hiccup, it's a letdown.
I know, and especially just like we've already talked about his career trajectory, he's obviously on the back end. It is a bit of a letdown, but you also a realist would have seen this coming a little bit. He can't be an all world goalie for 20 straight years. It just doesn't happen. But
would you also consider Miller as a little bit of a letdown? Because I kind of
yes and no. That's tough because I think he's on a 5-game point streak. And he was leading the team in scoring early this year when they were flying with everyone. But
if you compare, remember last year when he said, and we talked about this earlier, he wants to make a difference in every game. And then since that point, like, I think it was like 3 quarters through the season last year, he said that, and he was noticeable every game.
Right.
This year hasn't quite been like that. He's gone missing for stretches of time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's fair to say. Haven't really noticed him all that much. He's also, I don't know, but overall, I mean, he's putting up pretty solid numbers. I actually haven't looked at the top at the stats for a little bit, like in terms of Rangers stats, their individual numbers. We're really, really balanced at the top. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
So like Hayes is 31 points, Stepan is 31 points, Kreider's 30 points, Miller is 30 points, Zuccarello is 30 points. So like, a lot of guys getting it done in different ways, and I think JT's just another part of that mix. I mean, he hasn't necessarily stood out as like, wow, he's been, you know, head and shoulders above where he was earlier or last year. Although I do think, like last year, he had a good year. He's certainly, I think, living up to his contract that they gave him. So I couldn't really call him a letdown in that sense.
Yeah.
But I agree. I mean, there are times where he kind of disappears, which is. It's a bit of a letdown, so yeah, I guess you could say that.
All right, what about most improved for you?
I think this one's fairly easy. I'm going to go with Hazy, Kevin Hayes.
Yeah.
Because last year, he was the guy that I think we might have even advocated for him not getting a new deal and to let him walk because he was pretty bad last year. Like, especially, he had a great rookie year. I think he had 45 points rookie season, and we were excited. And then he came out last year and just kind of had a down year and a dud. And he really wasn't confident at all. You could see it. I mean, even playing with E. Stahl, who is now apparently back to his all NHL form, he wasn't able to get anything going with that guy, and he just had no confidence, couldn't score, was gripping the stick real, real tight. So, but this year, yeah, he's good. I mean, he's playing well. He's leading the team in points, tied with Stepp. He has 13 goals, 5 power play points. He's been real solid all year.
If you opened up the NHL encyclopedia to sophomore slump, yeah, there would be just a picture of Kevin Hayes
and Dylan Larkin. But yes.
Yeah, true. And Dylan Larkin. But
yeah, he was definitely part of that slump for sure.
I think it just goes to show you that you can't take playing in the league for granted. And I think, I'm not saying that he took it for granted, but he clearly put in a lot more work in the offseason, lost 20 pounds, like got stronger. Because he realized he had a bad year and he came back and worked hard, and he's been one of our most consistent players night in and night out. Also, as we've mentioned, I think in the first podcast ever, which would be kind of scary to go back to, and I might do that.
Might have to.
I think VC coming over and kind of boosting Hayes not only on the ice but also off the ice is also a big thing. They're obviously they're best friends. Who doesn't want to play their favorite sport with their best friend?
Absolutely. Did the goalie challenge together on Preds.
Exactly. Yeah.
Davey Page, yeah, views. Yeah.
Hayes also, I believe, has the record. He's like 8 out of 10, right?
In the video, the production, they just like fast track Hayes because it was like these other guys, VC scored like 2 or 3 and Prez was all pumped, and then Hazy scored 8 of 10. So yeah, he holds
Hayes
the record.
Lit him
he
up.
Just fired, cuz most guys kind of shoot it, they're not really trying that much. Like, let Prez get whatever. Let him get his saves. Hayes, fuck that. Just went all
also,
in. Fired
also,
him by him.
Prez, being who he is, the asshole that he is, has that shirt that says the Hayes Sisters.
Yeah, it was a hilarious shirt.
I just think that's hilarious. But I hate
love
Prez
it
overall. But he's a funny guy, but he's an asshole. So whatever.
He is.
All right, most likely to have a big second half.
Well, I'm going to go with a guy that we didn't see in too many games in the first half. So I'm going to go Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think that he's poised. I mean, what else can you say? The first, like you said, 15 points in 18 games or whatever it was. He looked real, real good. We completely forgot about Brassard because this guy has so much more talent right now. And just ability to just put up big point numbers and lead the team and just be that number one center. And what is he, 23? So
yeah.
So really excited about him, and I just think he's gonna come right back in. I would be shocked if he didn't excel and keep up somewhat close to that almost point of game pace when he's
yeah,
back.
I agree. I completely agree that Zibanejad has a second a second half for the record books. You heard it here first. Mika Zibanejad first game back, 3 points. Guaranteed. Ooh. You heard it here
Let's
first.
Let's go. Hope so. I could see that being a real emotional game for him for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Hopefully really soon, hopefully next weekend. But and then our last superlative here. So most likely to be traded. Now this one is put a little asterisk on it because obviously they might not look to trade anyone, but as we were discussing off air a little bit before, it just feels like this team is one really solid power play defenseman away from being the complete package. And I think once you get the three guys back in the lineup, then we have a little bit of excess at forward. And maybe you look to move a guy or two in order to make that move and get that solid defenseman. But this is not an easy category to slot someone in terms of the forwards. So it pains me to say it, and I don't even think it's realistic, but just basing on contracts too and where players are at in their careers, What if they move Jimmy Vesey?
I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't
yeah,
really,
to be honest.
I don't really either, because he's a really good rookie. But I mean, you who would you put here? Who would you put here? And I know, obviously, they probably won't even make a trade, but this is just hypothetically.
I'm being completely honest, and I thought about this pretty much the entire podcast. I have to say that I just don't think that I don't think it's even possible to trade anyone.
So you're going to say no one?
I have to just defer and say nobody, because I look up and down the lineup. The guys who we want to be traded don't have enough value to actually be traded. So I just don't see – I mean, you can always throw guys like Kreider in because
no,
they have so much upside. But that's what I'm saying, though. It's not realistic. But those are the types of guys teams are going to want. They're going to want the Millers. They're going to want the Hayes. They're going to want the Kreiders. So that's the core of this Rangers team. And do I actually think they're going to trade any of those guys away? I can't see anyone being traded. And when you say we want to pick up –
that was not the question, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a hypo. It's a hypo. Like, if you, let's say they're making a trade for Shattenkirk, and I know given all the circumstances, we would rather not trade and we'd rather have him request a trade to the Rangers so that we would be in a better bargaining position. But
I mean, given the Shattenkirk situation, first of all, I think St. Louis is going to keep him. He's going to walk and then try to sign with the Rangers. But given that,
no way we have the money for that.
Yeah, we'd have to clear some space. But I guess if I had to answer it completely, I think Miller would be the easiest one to be traded. Mm. I think he has a lot of potential, but I think he's the least likely to develop any more from where he's at now. I guess is what I'd say. Which is hard to say. It's like hurting me to even say this.
Yeah, no. I mean, I just literally said I didn't advocate for it, but I mentioned trading VZ. That's not going to happen.
I mean, I just think he has too much upside.
Yeah, he's got the huge upside. It's just an interesting question. Just a little hypo.
Yeah, definitely.
Bringing back to law school. But that's those are our superlatives. So that's our show. We're really happy to be back talking Rangers. We get a little vacation this week, but coming back next week strong against two Canadian teams. Oh, sorry. So we're home against Toronto, and then we are in Montreal for Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. And that'll be a good game because the Canadians are the only good team in their division. So anything else you want to add here, Derek, for this episode?
No.
All right, that's it. So, again, be sure to send us your comments, your questions, anything at all. RealTalkRangers@gmail.com is the address there to send everything to. Be sure to tell all your friends about us and how good we are at talking hockey. And yeah, that's it for this episode. So we will see you next week. This little town blues. Up to you.